Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL
Sports. Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, Cougar Nation. Hope all of you are doing okay on this Saturday afternoon. I know it's tough, Cougar Nation. It's tough. They should be playing today, BYU basketball, but they broke everyone's hearts once again, Matt. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte here in downtown Salt Lake City. Look, we're going to have a lot of fun these next 3 hours. The vibes are still going to be good despite the loss.
But we're going to be real, too.
Oh, yeah. We're still going to lay it to you real. We're gonna be unpacking everything that happened in that BYU-Duquesne game for BYU Hoops. We'll look ahead to the future for the program and what's next for Mark Pope and the BYU Hoops program as they turn the page to 2025. But that was discouraging. We'll also talk some BYU football as well. TJ Woods, offensive line coach, will join us. Linebacker coach Justin Enna. Hinkley Ropati will join us. We have a loaded show for you. And then, of course, in hour number three, we'll talk more hoops with Mark Durant, BYU Sports Network analyst who was in Omaha with me. And that's where we start things off in the leadoff as BYU falls to Duquesne.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
After receiving a favorable draw with Duquesne, the Dukes take down the Cougars, and they bust a lot of people's brackets in the process,
yes,
too.
Yes, they did.
71-67. It was a physical basketball game, to say the least. Mitch, you were there in Omaha. You had a front row seat to this thing. How physical was it?
It was very physical, and I thought Duquesne took the page from Texas Tech and followed that blueprint to a T. It was a carbon copy, and BYU just did not respond. And after the game, some BYU players noted that they were surprised by the physicality of Duquesne. I'll admit, I'm surprised that they said they were surprised, because going into the game, we all talked in the media that Duquesne is going to hang their hat on defense, and they're going to try to, you know, make things difficult for the high-flying BYU offense from the western part of the country. I'm just surprised that BYU felt surprised, because, you know, we kind of called how this game was going to play.
Yeah.
You had to start out strong. You didn't. You were down 9-0 before you could, or 9-0 before you could even blink, and Duquesne just controlled the pace, the style of play, everything, and BYU just did not respond well to that physicality of Duquesne. But it was a physical game, and it was more physical than even I was expecting going in.
It was so physical to the point that I felt like it was poorly officiated. And I don't want that to sound like I'm blaming the officials,
sure,
because really when it comes down to it, Mitch, I think BYU lost this game at the rim. Duquesne outshot them from the field. You know, when your big guy, your best physical presence down low, shoots 4-12, and he's all the only shots he's taking, I'm talking about Foose here, the only shots he's taking are within 10 feet, and you make less than 50% of those, it's going to be hard to win. When you don't shoot the three well, and then you're not converting your twos, which you were on this point early in conference play, and some of these losses, how many points were missed at the just point blank at the rim? And that was, again, the case against Duquesne. That's why they lost. Don't get me wrong. But I do think the wide styles of play that are allowed in college basketball make it difficult. BYU had a specific style of play, and it worked most of the year. You're up and down. It's free-flowing. You're shooting a lot of threes. Well, when a team comes in and roughs you up and gets away with stuff that other teams weren't getting away with through most of the year, it's hard to adjust. So, to your point, you're right. I think they should not have been surprised that Duquesne was going to do this. But also, you know, like, Dallin Hall, start the game, gets a elbow to the face.
Yes.
How many times was that called a flagrant foul in conference play? Nearly every time. And that happened in the Big 12 tournament, where there were inadvertent elbows being thrown and people got flagrant fouls. That's not a flagrant. Drame in the second half retaliates. Borderline throws a punch. No flagrant, no technical. I thought it was the worst officiated game of the year, and it hurt the team that's more finesse, which is BYU. With that being said, they should have taken care of the ball in crunch time, and I thought BYU also, Mitch, lost the game to start and finish each half. They were better for probably 30 to 40 minutes, but they were bad to start the second half. They were bad to start the game. They were bad in the final minute of the first half where there was a 5-0 run by Duquesne, and they were bad in the final minute of the game, and they lost because of that. But the officiating was poor too, and when it's poor on the air of being physical, that will always hurt BYU.
Duquesne beats BYU 71-67, and it's another heartbreak moment for BYU in March Madness, and it's the second time in the Mark Pope era that BYU loses a game as a 6 seed to an 11 seed. But this one, I think as you noted on X, hurts a little bit more because it's Duquesne. It's not UCLA.
You haven't been to the tournament in like, what, 40, 50 years?
Yeah, since 1977. Jeez. When Norm Nixon, former Laker, was the guard for Duquesne. They had never been in the tournament when there was seeding involved in the NCAA tournament. And this team, it was crazy too, on Wednesday in Omaha, when Duquesne hit the podium, they just seemed kind of a little bit borderline cocky. There was this confidence about them, and I was like, huh, this team really is kind of full of themselves. Like, BYU better be ready out of the gates, and they weren't.
Yep.
And, you know, you wonder, too, the little side storylines. Sometimes it always gets, you know, I think coaches and players feel like, oh, that's just for the media. You know, when you say Duquesne's coach is announcing his retirement. Keith Dambrot.
LeBron sends a bunch of shoes.
These little storylines added fuel to Duquesne being a lovable team. And people were rallying around Duquesne. And BYU didn't respond. But Duquesne, because they had the support of LeBron, they almost felt superhuman. You know, and it was crazy, too. I don't know if people noticed in the game, like, the big story about LeBron rolling in a cart of shoes, yet only two players on their team actually wore the shoes in the game, which I thought was kind of funny. I was expecting all of them to be rocking those LeBron 21s. They didn't. But, you know, BYU missed so many opportunities in this game. Jackson Robinson was brilliant, 25 points. But when he steps into the game, BYU's down 9-0. And it was what we talked about on Monday on Cougar Nation. And this team, they have these slow starts far too often, and it cost them dearly once again. And it just felt like instantly that tone setter altered everything for BYU. And you bring up the gimmies. BYU was 11 of 22 on layups. You're not going to win games,
no,
especially in March Madness when you're missing that many point-blank shots.
You lose by four. And look, it is unreasonable to expect 80, 90%.
Sure.
But if you shoot 60% from two, on layups, I mean, or point blank, and 60% is being generous. You should probably do better than that. You win that game,
yeah.
Straight up. And so it's tough to have that happen. I think the other thing that makes it so hard, Mitch, is you get all-time great performances, in my opinion, from two players. Jackson Robinson was outstanding. His shot-making in the first half kept them alive. And I don't really have any issues with the way that he played at the end of the game. I know there was like a chatter on social media and amongst fans. Why is he not shooting it? Well, he touched the ball a lot, and they clamped him down, and he made the right play.
Sure.
So it's not like they were ignoring him. Jackson Robinson touched the ball several times, but he couldn't get a good shot.
I think he should have just been kind of selfish and just...
That's fair.
Just taking over and saying,
fair.
What? Follow my lead, guys. I'm... Scrap the playbook. I'm carrying this team because I'm all we got right now.
That's maybe more a coaching thing, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a play call where you say, isolate, get it to Jackson Robinson. But sure, I wouldn't have been mad if he had forced a bad shot because he was in the zone, but it's not like he wasn't touching the ball. He was making the basketball plays. That's fine. And then Spencer Johnson was outstanding on the glass, Mitch. Double-double, 16 rebounds. Hits a big three in the second half. To have two great performances from those guys who may not be on the team next year and to not advance with just above and beyond what they had been doing all year, that's painful because those were performances worthy of winning an NCAA tournament game, and there were just too many little miscues in the second half that did not let that happen.
And it was also discouraging that three of your starters combined for 5 points.
Yes.
Noah Waterman, Trevin Nell, Ali Khalifa, difficult games.
Yep.
And, you know, not putting it on any individual player.
For sure.
But that starting five let BYU down.
Yep.
Period. And that's why there was chatter out there that, do they make a change to the starting lineup? Do they need to make a lineup change? I didn't feel like they needed to, because, as Mark Pope said going into the game, not going to reinvent the wheel, not going to change it up. We know who we are. We're going to roll with what we got. I get it. But that slow start, I felt like once you got down, 5-0 to open the game, change.
Yes.
Something needs to change instantly.
Yep.
And that didn't happen. And it took too long, and you're down 9-0, and before Jackson Robinson can insert himself into the game, they're already in a hole. And I just thought that they were instantly climbing, and credit to Duquesne, they always had an answer for BYU.
Yep.
When there were moments where I thought, okay, BYU's turning the momentum in their favor, Duquesne always had an answer. I thought that number 7, Jacob Nekas, he was outstanding. He was the momentum killer. You bring up that 5-0 run at the end of the first half, he single-handedly got that. There was a moment in the second half where Foose had a shot basically go in, and then it rims out. Like, Foose was backpedaling like it was in. Like, he felt like it's down and in. That goes out, and then on the other end, Jimmy Clark hits the front iron, bounces again, and then it rims in. It was just one of those days where it was not going to be BYU's day. They just couldn't get over the hump. And then you have a costly turnover out of a media timeout. Richie Saunders gets picked off by Jimmy Clark. Fast break, slam dunk. You can't have that.
No.
And then you're not boxing out the shooter on the free throw. BYU made
too
many mistakes. It's one thing to lose, but you want to see BYU play well on this stage. If you play who you are and you still lose, what can you say? Duquesne had its day.
Totally.
But BYU,
like a Oakland, Kentucky situation.
Right. BYU never plays well in March Madness. They always get tense. You know, I think that's what's discouraging here for BYU is that it doesn't matter the coach, it doesn't matter the players, it doesn't matter what conference you are. The same theme is where you're in a hole, you're digging yourself out, it's too little, too late, and you never look like your typical self as you were in, say, January and February.
All right, we got to take our first break. You can text us 57500, your thoughts on the opening round loss. And also, if you want to chime in on this question we'll address on the other side, what does BYU need to do to find more success in the tournament? 57500, we'll discuss that coming up next.